Scripture reading this morning will be from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke 9, 23. And it reads, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'"
Good to be here this morning as we are here to worship our God in spirit and in truth. We want to let you know that if you are visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guest, and we're grateful and thankful for you being here on this morning. When we consider Luke 9, verse 23, it's a very powerful passage in and of itself. I hope, pray, and trust that as we are listening and studying together, that we will recognize that we are before Almighty God, and that God is the audience of worship. I understand that at times in life we have many things going on in our minds. We have many ailments. We suffer from different things such as bereavement. But today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Reminded of what the psalmist said on one occasion, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." It is good to be here on this morning, regardless of what's going on in life. The very fact that God has given us another day to worship Him, for you never know, this may be our last opportunity to worship God collectively. Yet we understand, according to Luke chapter 9, verse number 23, Jesus says, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." This morning I want us to talk for a few minutes on the subject, growth requires denial. One of the new members here said to me a few weeks ago that Ninth and Main is a place of healing. I have lodged that into the recesses of my heart. And I've been thinking about that because I hope, pray, and trust that this is a place of healing. But we must keep in mind that if this is going to be a place of healing, we can't be like the man in John 5 at the pool of Bethesda, who was at the pool for 38 years but never got into the pool himself. There's one thing to be around the pool. There's another thing to get inside of the pool. Here at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ, we hope, pray, and trust that true healing and spiritual growth will help us to see that submission to God's will result in righteous behavior formed in us. When we consider some of these thoughts, I want us to keep in mind that if we're going to be a people of growth, spiritual growth, it's going to require us to deny ourselves. One of the hardest things to do is to deny self. It's to tell oneself no at the proper time, and yes, at the proper time. It's something about bearing our cross. It's something about doing this daily. It's something about not allowing the cares of this life to envelop us, to cause the things of this life to be more important than the things of spirituality. It's something about not being ashamed of God and our future glory with Him. It's something about being a part of the kingdom of God, the church. When we consider this great saying in Luke 9, verse 23, it's interesting that the three Gospels, the Gospel records, if you will, record this particular saying. Now keep in mind that the Bible teaches in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 that there's only one Gospel. But we're talking about the Gospel accounts. In Matthew chapter 26, verse number 24, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, let us turn our Bibles together as we seek to think about growth requiring denial. And I want us to keep in mind that as we're studying together, I hope, pray, and trust that this will cause us to look at our lives deeply. And the reason why is because if we're going to leave one point in life to get to the point where God wants us, it's going to require us to go deeper into our hearts. Now, I say that to those who believe that they have not yet arrived. I do not say that to those who think that they're okay already. I'm not being mean with that comment. Jesus said, "For I did not come for the righteous, but to call sinners unto repentance." I'm not being mean with that comment. But we understand that this particular account is vitally important. For in Matthew 16 and verse number 24, we see the same thing being said by Jesus the Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." But then turn to Mark chapter 8 and look at verse 34. You're probably saying, "Brother Bonner, they're saying the same thing. Why are you reading those three?" But they're not. They're all adding something. That's the beauty of the scriptures. And Brother Bonner needs to slow down and allow the scriptures to do the teaching. For when Jesus teaches us, oh, as students of the Word of God, we learn. And when we learn, our hearts are then transformed by the renewing and then conformed to the very image of Christ. In Mark chapter 8, verse number 34, notice what your Bible there has to say. Here, Mark adds something to the verse. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And it's interesting that when we consider all three of these passages together, go back to Luke chapter 9 and look at verse number 20, here we'll see that Jesus is being confessed as being the Christ. That's vitally important. And the reason why that's important, friends, is because he is the anointed one, the one sent by God. It's interesting that when God was ready to deliver the children of Israel, he sent a deliverer. And when God was ready to deliver the world, he sent a deliverer. He sent Jesus Christ, the God of consistency. Yet, Christ, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 21 and 22, he tells his disciples of his pending death and resurrection. It's amazing. Now, we're going to be going backwards and forwards until we make our point. But I want us to notice Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse number 23. In Matthew 16, verse 23, as we continue this perusal, notice, after Peter takes Jesus to the side and he rebukes him, Jesus says something to Peter in his face. "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. For you are not mindful, that's key, of the things of God, but the things of men. Jesus, why would you tell Peter this? Jesus came to seek and save the lost, Luke 19:10. Jesus came to die on the cross for all mankind, John 19. And Jesus desired to do the will of Almighty God. And because of that, Peter looks at Jesus' situation from an emotional perspective, and he gets emotional with Jesus because of the relationship that they have with one another. And notice what he says, this is not going to happen to you. It has to. I have to go to the cross. Peter, don't deny me of this. But then, notice, when we consider this challenge of all three accounts, I want us to take notice of something that's vitally important. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 24, notice what we see here. We see the words desires. We see the words deny. The phrase take up. We see the phrase follow me. But then in Mark chapter 8, notice what we see. In Mark chapter 8 and verse number 34, notice what we see in this particular text. We see the phrase, call the people. We see the phrase, his disciples also. And we see the same phrases and words that we saw in Matthew 16, verse 24. Desire, deny, take up, follow me. But then look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. The beauty of the mind of God, friends. Notice, in Luke 9, verse 23, we notice the word desire, deny. We see the phrase take up. Uh-oh. We see daily. We're adding something. We're adding something to the understanding. And the thing that we're adding to the understanding is that we have to do this on a daily basis. So when we put all of this together, Brother Popejoy, this is what we find. Everyone, apostles included, the people and the disciples, if anyone has a desire, meaning an intention, a purpose, to take delight in, to have pleasure in, if anyone has a desire to what? Follow me. Let him what? Deny himself. The word deny there literally means to denounce, to disown, to lose sight of one's own purpose, entrance, interests, ideas. But notice, take up his cross, to lift up high that all may see, to be intentional about Jesus' will and not my own. Daily, no time off. No furlough, no spiritual vacation, sacrificially giving yourself 24/7. But he goes on, follow me, to follow after the one that goes before you, to accompany, to become a learner or a student, to side with his party. Now you put all of those things together. We are the people of God. We are the disciples of Christ who intentionally take delight in, pleasure in, denying ourselves, to denounce our will, to lose sight of our interest, to lift high the cross of Christ in order that we may not take a furlough in order to follow Jesus Christ. Friends, I'm about to let you go because I got 2 points. I know. Preachers, you have 3. I got 2 points. But I needed to make the point that Jesus was making first. And one of the hardest things to do as we go backwards in this is not to follow Christ, or is to follow Christ, is not to take a furlough or a spiritual vacation, is not to lift Jesus up high in our lives, is not to denounce ourselves. It's hard to not do that, but we have to deny ourselves, to take pleasure, to have a good desire, to desire to do God's will, to be the people of God. Friends, God desires for us to do this in order for us to grow. Question. Think about this. You probably haven't thought about this today. But since last month, 2 months ago, since January, have you grown spiritually? Are you handling things differently according to God's will? Proverbs 3, verse number 5, trust in the Lord. Are you taking all of your thoughts and all of your cares to God? 1 Peter chapter 5. Are you taking some time off to be in meditation with God's word? Psalm 1. Are you studying to show yourselves approved unto God? 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15. How much are you growing? How much are we growing in Christ? Number one, growth requires denial. In Ephesians chapter 5, I want us to turn there. For submission requires an understanding of God's will. Friends, I cannot submit to nothing that I don't know. Bad English, but good understanding for my English teachers. I can't submit to nothing I don't know. I cannot submit to God if I don't know Him. And no wonder we ought to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering being made conformable unto His death. In Ephesians 5 and verse number 17, notice what Paul says with interest. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Friends, we can know the will of God. And as the people of God, God desires for us to know His will, and submission requires understanding the will of God. Verses 1 through 7 of Ephesians chapter 5, growth requires walking. You know, one thing that has been difficult on in my quest for good health is consistency. Oh, ain't nothing like having a piece of chocolate cake or some cherry cheesecake, Nate. Boy. But I gotta think about the ramifications of that. Here are the ramifications that if I get that piece of cheesecake, Brother Reed, I'm going to want another piece. And then tomorrow I'm going to want another piece. And the next day, another piece. But hold on. Righteousness is the same. You get a hold of righteousness today, you ought to want another piece tomorrow. And another piece the next day. And another piece. Hold on. Jesus has something to say about that. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Ephesians chapter 5, 1 through 7. Submission to God's will, if we're going to grow, we got to walk in love, verse 2. I want you to go back and read all of these passages. I guarantee you they will bless your life. We got to walk in love. Verses 8 through 14, we got to walk in the light. Look at verse number 8. Look at verse number 8 of Ephesians chapter 5. Not only do we walk in love, but we have to walk in the light. What does it mean to walk in the light? John said in 1 John 1 and verse number 7, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But hold on. In 1 John 1 and verse number 5, the Bible there teaches us very clearly that God is light. So how do I walk in the light? When I walk in the light, I walk in His Word. How do I walk in His Word? When I walk in His Word, I walk in God. When you walk in God, you walk in the light. You walk in the light, you walk in the Word. You walk in the Word, you walk in Jesus. So here we consider that if we're going to grow, we got to walk in the light. But then notice verses 15 through 21. We got to walk in wisdom. Look at verse 15 and also verse 21. See then that you walk circumspectly. Notice the idea there is a tightrope. The Greek word literally is acrobat. You walk as one who walks the tightrope. I am trying to do what is right in the sight of God, whether someone's watching me or not. I am trying to do the will of God, regardless of who is around me. I don't care if Pope Joe is around me. I don't care if Reed is around me. I don't care if he's around me. I don't care if my wife's around me. You shouldn't care either. Only thing you ought to care about is who's watching you, and that's God. We used to sing a song in the Church of Christ. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. I think we're scared. We're afraid of that song now. Old folk used to love that song. Are you old? Y'all remember that song? There's an all-seeing eye watching you. Watching you. I'm like, that song scared me as a kid. Yeah, he's watching you. But it's a beautiful thing when God is watching you, when you're walking in the light. When you're walking in righteousness. So walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Why? Redeeming the time. And friends, we're here, right here. We're right here. The days are evil. There are people around us that don't care about us. They can care less about Christian principles and Christian values. And they take for granted that God's people are even in their midst upholding righteousness and morality and uprightness. And friends, that's us. But look at verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Friends, this requires walking. This requires a lifestyle. But then verses 22 and 32, walk in submission in marriage and in the mystery. Verse 22, walk in submission to one another in marriage. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. Friends, if we're going to be walking in submission, shouldn't we be walking in submission concerning the Lord's church? The church means something to Christ. It's her body. It's his body. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 that God put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The church means something to Jesus. And if we're going to grow inside of the church, friends, we have to submit to our head. We have to submit to Jesus Christ. Young men, young ladies, submit to Jesus now. Don't wait till you done messed up your life and had kids out of wedlock and now your body's racked with pain because of drugs and alcohol. You don't have to do that. Amen. You don't have to. You don't have to live a life of sin in order to learn by hard knocks. And then after you didn't go to went to jail and did 15 years, you want to come out and be a youth minister. It don't work that way. Those are not the prerequisites. Those are not the qualifications. It's amazing. I talk to many people like, yeah, I want to talk to people about my life and give my testimony. I say, we all got a testimony. Yeah, in Christ, we've all been baptized into Christ. That's our testimony. We got the same testimony. Your testimony ain't better than mine. Amen. He said amen to that. But friends, seriously, you don't have to mess up your life in order to be right with God and to help someone else out of sin. Some of the best lessons I've heard on marriage was from a person who wasn't married. You know why? Because they took the Bible and they taught it. You know what that teaches us? That God teaches us what it looks like. God teaches us what the church looks like. God teaches us how to deal with your enemies and deal with your outlaws and deal with yourself. God teaches us those things in his word, and you don't have to experience pain and suffering and sin in order to learn those lessons. But we need to walk right in our marriage and walk right in the mystery, but we need to walk with God. In child rearing, chapter 5, chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Walking in these things brings healing and growth. Look at first, Look at John chapter 5. Look at verses 5 through 8. Remember, we talked about that man at the pool of Bethesda? Here he is, right here. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Friends, that's the question. Do we want to be made well by our God? The only way we're going to be made well by our God, we have to submit ourselves to His will. We have to grow within ourselves. The way up is down. I told my children that growing up all their lives. The way up is down. And the reason why we know that, because Jesus was up. He came down to serve mankind. He went down and washed his disciples' feet. He came up from that and taught them some more lessons and went back up to the Father. The way up is down. But the world in which we live in, the way up is up. Or the way up is pulling you down. But not as Christians. Do you want to be made well? Are you spiritually sick? And one of the hardest things to do is to say, "You know what? I'm spiritually sick. I got some sickness going on." Well, hopefully we don't go to the hospital if we have a cold. Hopefully we can take care of it before it turns into pneumonia. Amen. Wisdom says take care of it before it turns into pneumonia. Because once it becomes pneumonia, then you have to go into the hospital. You have to be admitted. But praise be to God in the church that we can be admitted when we're sick, and because we're still sick in some type of way, that we stay in the hospital. We stay in the church. We stay in His grace. But notice verse number 7. He says, "The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me.' Jesus said, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk.'" Friends, are we ready to be made whole? The only way we can be made whole, friends, we have to submit to the will of God. And one of the most difficult things to do is to submit to God's will holistically, all the way through. But we can do it because we're the people of God. If anybody can submit to the God, it's His people. We can do it. Why? Because you made the ultimate commitment by being baptized into Christ. Brethren, that's the ultimate commitment. To submit your will to His will by having your sins washed away in water, being added to the Lord's church. What a beautiful submission. I asked the Bible class, Brother Pope Joy, this morning, "Do you remember your baptism? Do y'all remember your baptism? You remember that day you submitted to the will of God and you told God, 'I'm going to be an instrument of righteousness. I'm going to be a utensil for you and only you. I'm going to deny my will. I'm going to take up your will.'" Friends, it's not about our interest. It's about the interest of God. Number 2, submission requires spiritual mindedness, focusing on the cross. Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him denounce, disown himself. Arrow, raise up, lift up high that all can see intentionally. His cross, his burden. Follow me." Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse number 20, when considering taking up our cross, it requires a spiritual mindset. Therefore, he says, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Christ," here it is, "lives in me." Don't go to sleep on me yet. Think about this, friends. Think about this. Christ living in you. What does that mean? Don't have time to really elaborate on that. Go home and meditate upon that. What does it mean that Christ lives in me? If Christ is living in me, can other people see him living in me? There was a time in the United States of America, I heard this story about this courtroom setting. And every courtroom setting has a Bible. And one day they was in the courtroom setting and they didn't have a Bible. And they said, well, is there a member of the Church of Christ here? They want to put his hand on that person because they were walking Bibles. Question. Could people put their hand on you because you are a walking Bible? Are you bearing your cross? To bear our cross means that we may suffer a little shame every now and then because of our stance for Jesus. That we may suffer a little embarrassment, at least on our part, but really there's no embarrassment. When I'm lifting high Jesus in my life, it doesn't matter what it is, then God gets the glory in my life. I'm not embarrassed because of Christ. I suffer the reproach. I go outside of the gate and I suffer the reproach with him. Why? I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the word of God. I'm not ashamed of the church of Christ. I'm not ashamed of being a member of his body. Wow. Submission. One of the hardest things to do is to submit my will to his. Remember Jesus, he rebuked Peter because he was not mindful of these, the things of God. Turn to Romans chapter 8 as I attempt to come to a close. Sometimes when planes are in the air because of weather, they say they're in a holding pattern. I won't be in a holding pattern this morning. Y'all smile, I'm almost done. The spiritual mind, because of submission to the will of God, is cultivated by a spiritual law. Not my law. Not any other man's law, but a spiritual law. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, notice what the Bible here has to say. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Let me get out of Acts 8 first. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What does it mean to walk according to the Spirit? Here it is. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means that I walk according to the Spirit's law. His teachings. Drop down to verse 5 and 6. Notice the cultivation that needs to take place in order to have this mindset, friends. And this is why we have to submit to God's will, get in his word, study his word, seek his way, and allow him to guide your life. And I promise you, he will never guide you away from heaven. He will never guide you away from heaven. Look at verse number 5 and verse number 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds, set their affections on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit. Remember, we just looked at Romans 8, 1 and 2. The things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Friends, which one do you want? I know which one you want because you're here this morning. I know which one you want because you're a member of the Lord's church. I know which one you want, but I do know this, friends. Satan hates you just like he hates me. And I will not rail an accusation against him. But I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I wish Christianity wasn't this hard. But it has to be. Because God has to purge us and he has to know who's on his side. Question. Are you on the side of the cross? Does the cross, Poacher, this is in my notes. Does the cross govern your thoughts? Does the cross remind you of the will of God? Does the cross help you to stay focused on his concerns and not yours? One older brother told me one time I was struggling with stress in my life early in my marriage, and he told me, he said, son, Won't you go out and help somebody else? That'll take your thoughts off of you. That's a powerful comment. That's good advice. Because sometimes I'm so focused on me, I can't see the cross. But when I keep my eyes on the cross, that means that I'm not going to look at my life and see it as such and something that is just overburdensome. But I'm going to look at Christ. I'm going to look at the cross. I'm going to look at what he bore. And I'm going to say, you know what? This is not that bad. This is not that bad. So I conform to his will. I do what he has said. I leave you with this. I know we can be a people who take delight and pleasure in going after Jesus, who seek to lose sight of our own interest, even though it's difficult, lifting high the cross of Christ and being intentional about it, taking no time off from spirituality for any reason, to be students of Jesus Christ, knowing that siding with him is the only way to live, thus being accurate in our fellowship with him. That's a breakdown of all three of those passages. I said all that to say this. Friends, it's worth living for Jesus. Now, I don't know what you're thinking about this morning. And I can only imagine who's not paying attention. But it's not that you're not paying attention to me. Friends, you're not paying attention to God. And everyone who pays attention to God, listen, is always successful, even if they die for the cause. Jesus said, what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus also said to those who have done his will, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. What is going to get in your way of hearing those words? There's one thing to hear God's word. There's another thing to do it. And as we look and peer into the perfect law of liberty, we don't want to just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So, from this point forward, hear this out. From this point forward, I beg you, if you want me to get on my knees, I will. But I beg you, be faithful to God. Because if you lose heaven, you lost it all. But if you gain heaven, you gained it all. And everybody who gains heaven is rich, and everybody who doesn't is poor. So I leave you with this. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's just not a mental assent. It's you give your heart to him. You deny yourself. You fight yourself. You tell yourself, no, I'm going to follow Jesus. You repent of your sins. And when you repent, leave it where it is. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Confess him. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. God will wash away all of your sins. And he has one request and one request only. Serve me. Wow. He says, I did this for you. You can do this for me. Everyone who has been baptized into Christ and a member of the Lord's church, you said at one time, I want all my sins washed away and I'll serve you. That's what you said. He didn't drag you into the water. He didn't throw you in the water. You said, I'm going to get in there. And that's what you did. But now we got to live faithful. We can't be drawn back Hebrews 10, 35 through verse 38. We can't be going back to the bigger elements of the world. 2 Peter chapter 3, I think, somewhere in there. It's in there. It's like Prego. It's in there. But we said, I'm going to follow you. But every now and then we get off track. That's the beauty of the church. We can help one another. Let's help one another. If you're a member of the church and you haven't been faithful, let's get right. This old song brothers used to sing all the time, get right, church, and let's go home. Y'all older folk, y'all remember that one? The young folk don't remember that. I know that. Get right, church, and let's go home. Let's go home. Because this is not home. As we stand and as we sing to save his invitation.